Syrian President Bashar al-Assad begins his first official trip to China in almost two decades, a trip Beijing says will push ties to a new level. And Yemen's armed forces have held a military parade to commemorate the anniversary of the 2014 revolution in the Arab country. Thanks for joining us. Iran's president says the Islamic Republic expects the United States and Europe to fulfill their commitments according to a 2015 deal and to prove their goodwill. Ebrahim Raisi made the remarks in a press conference on the sidelines of the 78th United Nations General Assembly session.
As far as Americans and Europeans are concerned, we would want them to keep their promise according to the JCPOA, and part of that is removing the sanctions, the unjust and unfair sanctions. And this is the most effective result. The reason is
that this agreement. President Raisi said that Iran is the only signatory to the deal, known as a Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, which has abided by its commitments. He said the Islamic Republic did not leave the negotiating table, but the opposite sides pinned their hope on last year's riots in the country, which was a miscalculation. The Iranian president also touched on the country's nuclear activities. Raisi noted that Iran has said time and again that its nuclear activities are only for peaceful purposes, to meet the country's needs in agriculture, oil and gas sector, and other fields. He rejected Western media claims about Iran increasing its uranium enrichment level, saying the country only enriches uranium to the level needed for its peaceful nuclear activities. Elsewhere in his press conference, Raisi was asked about possible normalization of ties between Saudi Arabia and Israel. He said the U.S. and the Zionist regime intend to create a safe margin for this regime by establishing such relations, but they will fail to achieve this goal.
Well, if they think that this will provide them with more security, that is something that will not happen. And if such a thing happens, this is stabbing the Palestinian people in the back and the Palestinian resistance. And the nations in our region would never.
Raisi said people in the region will never accept indifference of regional countries to the cause of Palestine. He stressed that the issue of Palestine and the liberation of Al-Quds are top priorities of the Muslim world. Raisi added that an end must be put to the Zionist regime's injustice against Palestinians. He said people in the West Asia region hate the Zionist regime because of its crimes against Palestinians. Lebanese University Professor Jamal Wakim says the normalization of relations with Israel will weaken the majority of Arab nations.
Israelis and the United States are trying to normalize relations with of the Israelis, of course, of the Zionists with the Arabs, in order to integrate the Zionist entity into the Arab region on one hand, or it's the other way around, to integrate the Arab region into Israel project and render the Arab Near East as a sort of sphere of influence for Israel. In addition, normalizing relations between the Zionist entity and the Arabs or some Arab states will weaken the stance of the majority of the Arab people on one hand, and many Arab states that are against normalizing relations with Israel. This divides the ranks of the Arabs. As for the Palestinian people, of course, it's a stab in the back, because the Palestinian people are fighting for their land, to liberate their land, and normalizing relations between a major Arab country such as Saudi Arabia with Israel will further weaken the position of the Palestinian people on one hand, and at the same time strengthen the siege led by the occupying, the Israeli occupying forces on the Palestinian people.
Iran's Pardis Technology Park has unveiled 12 new products invented by its knowledge-based firms. The high-tech products were unveiled by Iran's vice president on the sidelines of the 21st annual meeting of the Technology Park. Kisumi Shahmadi tells us more.
Supporting young innovators and home to knowledge-based companies developing high-tech industries, Pardis Technology Park is taking major steps in commercializing technological achievements, and the 21st annual meeting of the park this year proudly became the venue for celebrating the accomplishments of a new generation of inventors.
Today, Pardis Technology Park has created a standard environment that allows young minds to flourish. It allows them to pursue their goals. With an area of about 500 hectares, we are home to knowledge-based companies that are saving us hundreds of millions of dollars in imports. Every year on this day, we present a number of new products.
On the sidelines of the event, 12 new products were unveiled, from deep drilling robots and software for simulating drilling operations to granulated food products. High-tech is the name of the game.
The technology that we have developed is quite unique. We have managed to develop the know-how to produce granulated products in pharmaceutical dosage forms. This new technology will allow a predictable and repeatable process, which is essential in the pharmaceutical industry. Up until now, our company has been able to enter the market for food additives. These are actually products that we used to import from other countries, and now I should proudly say that the entire procedure from A to Z is carried out in Iran.
Notable achievements that are even more impressive considering harsh Western sanctions on Iran.
There is something called the willpower of strong people. And today we're witnessing that in Pardis Technology Park. This is what happens when the government decides to support their young innovators. They overcome all obstacles, including sanctions.
Our main activity concerns marketing the products of knowledge-based companies. We mostly focus on the oil and gas sector. However, this year we are also trying to get those products that are competitive into the world market. We have talked to Chamber of Commerce about that.
With efforts made by these young inventors, products labeled Made in Iran will soon be in demand on the global market.
Supporting innovation and new ideas, Pardis Technology Park is looking forward to gaining a foothold in the international market. Kisumi Shahmadi, Tehran.
Another anti-Israeli operation in the occupied West Bank has left a regime soldier injured. Israeli police said a Palestinian driver rammed into the Qalandia checkpoint east of Al-Quds. The Palestinian has been arrested. Tensions are high in the West Bank, with Israeli forces carrying out near nightly raids on Palestinian towns. Palestinians have also carried out retaliatory operations, which have led to the death and injury of several Israelis over the past few months. The Syrian president is in China on his first visit since the war and foreign-backed insurgency gripped his country some 12 years ago. Beijing says Bashar al-Assad's trip will take bilateral ties to a new level.
We believe that President Bashar al-Assad's visit will further deepen mutual political trust and cooperation in various fields between the two countries, pushing bilateral ties to a new level.
Assad arrived in the eastern city of Hangzhou, where he will attend the opening ceremony of the Asian Games on Saturday. He and other foreign leaders will then meet Chinese President Xi Jinping there. The Syrian president will also travel to Beijing to discuss bilateral issues and China's help to rebuild his war-ravaged country. The visit comes as China expands its engagements in West Asia. This year, Beijing brokered a deal that saw Saudi Arabia and Syria agree to restore diplomatic ties and reopen their respective embassies. Geopolitical analyst Peter Koenig has told us about the significance of Syrian President Bashar al-Assad's trip to China.
President Bashar al-Assad's visit to China and his meeting with President Xi Jinping will further strengthen the already good relations, diplomatic relations and other relations between the two countries. China has an outstanding record in expanding diplomacy and peace initiatives. What is important, Mr. Assad's visit will likely lead to enhanced support by China for Syria's defense and possibly reconstruction of Western-initiated war-destroyed infrastructure. Since January 2022, Syria is also part of the Chinese Belt and Road Initiative, a fact that may further enhance China-Syria collaboration, for example, in the field of hydrocarbon exploitation and protection from Western theft, especially from the US and Turkey. President Bashar Assad's visit to China comes at a crucial time also, just preceding the coming Third Belt and Road Forum for International Cooperation, planned for mid-October 2023 in Beijing. Regarding the BRICS, although Syria is not yet a candidate for joining the BRICS, this diplomatic visit by the Syrian president to China may spark a common interest in expanding the BRICS with Syria's presence during the next year's BRICS summit sponsored by Russia in October 2024. Overall, as China is expanding her engagement in Western Asia and the Middle East, Syria's diplomatic closeness to China is also enhanced due to Syria's centric geographic location, bordering Lebanon, Israel, and the Mediterranean Sea to the west, Turkey to the north, Iraq to the east, and Jordan to the south.
Yemen's armed forces have held a military parade in the capital Sana'a, the occasion of the anniversary of the country's 2014 revolution. Different units and branches of the military took part in the parade. New advanced equipment and weapons in the army's arsenal were unveiled as well. High-ranking military and government officials were present in the parade, including President of the Supreme Political Council of Yemen, Mahdi al-Mashat. Every year, the Yemeni armed forces stage a military parade to commemorate the revolution in the capital. In last year's parade, a variety of combat weapons were showcased that included ballistic and cruise missile drones, surface-to-air missiles, and naval missiles. In 2014, Yemenis held mass demonstrations across the country against the incompetency of the government. The protests resulted in the ouster of the former president, Abdurrahman Mansour Hadi, who then fled to Saudi Arabia. Our correspondent in Sana'a, Yusuf Mowry, joined us earlier to tell us more about the military parade marking the 2014 revolution in Yemen.
So this is the largest display of Yemeni armed forces since the victory of the Yemeni revolution in 2015. And of course, this is despite the Saudi and American imposed blockade on Yemen, which began in 2015. So, and for the first time, in this military display, Yemeni fighter jets can be seen flying in the skies of the capital, Sana'a. And this was quite the surprise for the Yemeni population, because this is the first time that Yemenis discovered that the Yemeni army still possesses fighter jets, which is a very, very big victory for the Yemeni army. These fighter jets can be used now in the war. And I think one of the messages that the Yemeni armed forces are sending to the Saudi coalition is that we do have the military capability to defend Yemeni land. We do have power to deliver devastating blows to the Saudi. The fighter jets and the ballistic missiles, the range of drones which are being displayed today, it's sending the message that these will be employed in the near future if the blockade continues or if the Saudi coalition doesn't compromise and end the war and lift the blockade and withdraw all foreign military forces from Yemeni land.
One of Ukraine's staunchest allies, Poland, has announced that it will no longer supply weapons to the country as the diplomatic dispute over grain supply escalates. The Polish Prime Minister said that his country would rather focus on arming its own defense with more modern weapons. The move came after the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, during his speech at the UN General Assembly, accused some in Europe of helping Russia through their stance on grain exports. This comment sparked immediate condemnation from Poland, with the Foreign Ministry summoning the Ukrainian ambassador. Warsaw and Kiev remain at odds ever since Poland banned Ukrainian grain imports to protect the interests of its farmers. Poland has taken a lead among NATO allies in supplying Kyiv with heavy weapons since the beginning of Russia's military operation in Ukraine. It also hosts some 1 million Ukrainian refugees. And that does it for World News. That's bye-bye for now.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
In the limelight. The rising cost of living is forcing British households to reassess their budgets and cut back to make ends meet. Food inflation remains high in Britain, and the price of basic items has risen significantly. We take a look at some of the world media and press's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. Campaigners said the cost of some basic food items such as cheese, butter and bread has soared by more than 30% in the last 2 years, forcing poorer households to make desperate choices between keeping up with their bill payments or putting food on the table. According to research by Consumer Body, which shared exclusively with The Guardian, food price inflation has slowed in recent months, but costs remain much higher than they were 2 years ago, disproportionately affecting low-income families. According to the latest analysis by retail industry data provider Kantar, the annual pace of grocery price growth cooled to 14.9% over the 4 weeks to 9th of July, down from 16.5% a month earlier. Despite the slowdown, which figures showed that food prices have risen significantly over the past 2 years, and some products have gone up by as much as 30% since 2021. The food products with the highest rate of inflation are milk, with 36.4%, cheese, with 35.2%, butter and spreads, with 32.2%, cakes and cookies, with 31.2%, and bakery items, with 30.3%. Vegetable prices are up 19.1% since May to July of 2021. Meat prices are up by 23.6%, and savory pies and pastries and quiches are up 26.2%. Biscuit prices have increased by 27%, and fruit juice and drinks and smoothies are up 28.6%. The Consumer Rights Group is urging supermarkets to stock their cheapest products in their convenience store branches, as well as larger outlets, as charities warned that families were struggling to cope with food inflation. Richard Lane, Director of External Affairs at debt charity Step Change, said, "The rising cost of living is forcing households to reassess their budgets and cut back to make ends meet. Food inflation remains high and has pushed the price of basic items up significantly." Richard Lane added, "These rises are hitting the poorest the hardest, and it creates a poverty premium where those on tighter budgets are unable to save by buying in bulk and end up spending more money on food and essentials as they shop little and often." He added, "As food costs continue to rise, the knock-on effect can be felt elsewhere, with people having to make desperate choices between keeping up their bills or putting food on the table." Website Reddit has also covered the same story. A recent research by Step Change debt charity found 1 in 7 people in Britain had recently skipped meals or gone without a healthy diet in order to keep up with credit repayments, rising to nearly 1 in 3 for those on universal credit. Helen Barnard, Director of Policy, Research and Impact at the Trussell Trust, the food bank network, said, "Inflation is hitting those on the lowest income hardest, with the cost of essentials like food and energy, which account for far more of their budget than is the case for people on higher incomes, rising especially steeply." Helen Barnard added, "The last year, the food banks in its network experienced higher levels of need than ever before, distributing among 3 million parcels to people who could not afford essentials." She said, "Donations also increased, reflecting the public's greater generosity, even at a time of increased financial pressure for many, but rising need outpaced donations. This led to food banks having to purchase 124% more food than they did the previous year, at a time when prices are higher than ever, putting a significant strain on their operating costs." Which has called on grocers to make affordable and healthy basic food ranges available across all of their stores to ensure that offers and promotions are used to support those who are struggling and are targeted at healthy foods, and to make sure their pricing is clear so that shoppers can easily work out what offers the best value. It welcomed an announcement by Tesco on Friday, 11th of August, that the retailer would be introducing cheaper own brand range items in its convenience stores, but said more needed to be done, putting out that own brand items are still more expensive than budget ranges. For example, Tesco's own brand penne pasta is 75 pence for 500 grams, but its budget version is 41 pence. Sue Davies, head of food policy at Which, said, "Despite well-advertised price cuts, Which Tracker shows that the cost of essentials like milk and butter is still very high and piling huge pressure on millions of people, which is why access to budget ranges is more important than ever to help people save money." Sky News has also reported on the same story. The cost of sustenance in the United Kingdom could still remain higher than it was before Ukraine war caused the rate of food price rises to accelerate. Hugh Peel, the Bank of England's chief economist, said, "Unfortunately, the days of seeing food prices fall, that does seem to be something that we may not be seeing for a little while yet, if at all in the future." Speaking at a question and answer session on the cost of living, Hugh Peel said, "Even if the rate of food inflation slows down, food will still be more expensive than it had been, with the effects of food inflation going to take longer to dissipate. Official figures show food inflation stood at 17.3% in the 12 months up to June, when the overall consumer price index measure of inflation was 7.9%. Britain has been particularly impacted by rising food prices. Hugh Peel said that impact on food prices in the United Kingdom has been a little bit more long-lasting than would have been expected on the back of past behaviour. He placed the blame at the Russia-Ukraine war, which scrambled the supply chain of staple grown in Ukraine, such as wheat and sunflower oil, and brought up costs of raw materials and basic food items. Hugh Peel said one explanation for why the United Kingdom has been hit hard by this is UK companies responded to the price uncertainty in the wake of the Ukraine conflict by locking in expensive contracts. He said some firms decided to sort of lock in their purchases of commodities in international markets in order to reduce that uncertainty, but potentially locked in at quite high levels of prices, and they're still passing that through the system into what ultimately we're paying for in shops. Hugh Peel added, price rises will begin to slow as those contracts come to an end and food sub-processors in the United Kingdom adjust to the end of supply disruption.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers, sisters, listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the program Bridge. We are looking at supplication number 8 of Al-Sahifa Al-Sajjadiyah. We got to the part where the Imam alayhi salam says, O Allah, I seek refuge in you from wahir mani tawab and the deprivation of reward. Now, the Imam alayhi salam Allah, interestingly, in this word, he is not saying that I'm not working, I'm not acting. He's saying, no, I'm acting, but I'm not being rewarded for my actions. Sometimes a person works all his life. He prays, he fasts, he does all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants him to do. He goes to the day of judgment and Allah says, sorry, we don't have anything for you. But he says, oh Allah, I done so and so and so. Allah says, yeah, we did, but sorry, there are a few things that you've done in your life that made sure we deprive you of your reward. Now, one of the things that deprives a person from receiving his reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after doing an action is ilm, knowledge. Allah says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Those who know and those who don't, can they even be compared? Can we put them in the same level, in the same ground? Of course not. So sometimes me and you, we do actions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We act, we pray, we fast, we do a lot of things. But sadly, we don't know what we're doing. We're just doing it because we were told, or we blind followers. And Allah says an action that you don't know what you're doing is an action that it would not give you any fruits. It's an action that will not give you anything because it is based on ignorance. So this is one thing. Let's take a short break and then we will come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
A bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana, Rabbana.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge. So we were saying there are things that prevent a person from receiving his reward on Day of Judgment, and that is obviously based on the things that he does. One, we said, is lack of knowledge. When we do actions out of ignorance, these actions will not be accepted. I pray to Allah, but I have no idea who I'm praying to, and I have no idea what I'm saying. We have a hadith that is quite scary. It says when a person prays and he is heedless of what he's doing, his salah would go up and the malaika would take it and they would throw it back in his face. He's like, okay, we don't need this. So this is a problem. We need to understand that every action that we do, it has to be based on knowledge. Allah, again, He talks about one of the mawana of thawab, things that prevent thawab, is lack of understanding. So not only information, but a person, he reads, but he doesn't get anything through his head. Allah says, أَفَلَمْ يَسْيُرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Don't they walk on the earth? فَتَكُونُ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقَلُونَ بِهَا قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. Hearts that they can understand with, contemplate with. So there's no point of you seeing things, learning things, understanding things, if you do not contemplate about it, if you don't take it to heart, if you do not apply it. Most of us, we know that, you know, for example, Salah and how we perform it and how it's performed. We know the rules and regulations regarding Salah. We know the ayat and the hadith of Salah. And we know the ajr of Salah. We know all of these things. But when it comes to prayer, we pray it as quick as we can just to get it over with. And most of the times, we even end up messing the rules of Salah itself. Like Qiyam and Sujood becomes into one. Or a person is in a hurry, he does not do the Qiyam after Ruku', and that's a problem. So the idea is, Allah says, يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. You need to contemplate. You need to understand exactly what you're doing. It has to be fruitful. So when you stand to pray to Allah, you need to understand you are talking to somebody. You're not just blathering words. You're not just saying things to yourself. When you say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you're talking to Allah Himself. So when I pray, and I know that I'm talking to Allah, but I don't even care, or I just don't keep that in mind, then what's the point? Allah says, you want ajr based on what? You weren't even talking to me. You were just too busy. So Allah says, you need to understand. And Allah says, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. Read in the name of your Lord. خلق الإنسان من علق. And then Allah continues, عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَا يَعْلَمُ. He taught human being that which he does not know. So by seeking knowledge, by understanding, by knowing, then that will give the act a more reward. If it is done without contemplation, then it is reduced to nothing. Let us take a short break and then we will come back.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
Welcome back to the program Bridge, and you are listening to us as we discuss supplication number 8. Now, among the things that will nullify an action in the sense that it has no reward is that we do it without ikhlas, without sincerity. We pray to Allah, we fast to Allah, we give charity to Allah, but sometimes we include something else. As we say, we include showing off. We include riya. When I'm praying and there are people present, I pray slow, I take my time, I recite nicely so people can say, well, mashallah. Yeah, you know, ultimately I'm doing it to God, but I include something with it. So it's not for Allah only. I give charity, but I also want the person to thank me. I want the person to praise me. I want people to praise me for giving charity and so on and so forth. These actions, if they are done, and there is 1% or even micro percent, if there's such a thing, where a person includes something in his action that is not for Allah, Allah will not accept it. A person could pray all his life, fast all his life, but if it's not done with sincerity, Allah won't accept it. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. They were only ordered. They were given one task, one order, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincerity. That deen is to him and to him only and no one else. Now we see that when we do our ibadah, most of the times we include so many things with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have so much shuraka to Allah. Even Allah says in the Quran, الَّذِي اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Some people, they would take their own desires as their lords. Allah says, any action that is not sincere, I will not accept. As simple as that. So we need to keep in mind when we do actions, each action has a legal claw, if we can say that. Where if you don't pay attention to the fine print, then you would do so much action, but then you go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah says, I won't be able to reward you for that. And that the Imam alayhi salam, Imam Sajjad, he seeks refuge in Allah. He says, وَحِرْمَانَ الثَّوَابِ. I've worked all my life. I've done so much deed. But then I'm deprived of my reward. Or for example, a person who does a lot of good deeds, but sometimes he has that habit of backbiting people, talking about people, gossiping about people behind their back. And he goes under judgment. Allah says, sorry, we have no rewards for you. He said, oh Allah, I've done so and so. Allah says, yeah, we did collect it and gathered all your hasanat, but sadly, we gave it to fulan, which you were backbiting, so now you have nothing. So there are a lot of means where a person can put himself and he will be deprived of the reward. So we have to be very careful in this regard. Thank you for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا سجاد.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite.
Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz, every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Iran Sat or Bat 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you. In the limelight.
In Britain, data obtained under the Freedom of Information Act by the charity Fair Trials shows that at least 150 prisoners, all of them male, have spent at least 5 years or more waiting to face a jury in the United Kingdom. We take a look at some of the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. British newspaper The Independent has covered this story and tells us more. Prisoners in the United Kingdom are being forced to wait 5 years behind bars before trial as the number on remand soars to a record high, fueled by a growing court backlog. According to Ministry of Justice figures, some 15,523 people were languishing in overcrowded jails without having been convicted as of 30th of June. A 50-year high and up 16% compared to the previous year. Data obtained under Freedom of Information laws by the charity Fair Trials shows at least 150 people, all of them male, had spent 5 years waiting to face a jury as of 31st of December, with black men making up 33% of those facing the longest waits. Close to 2,000 prisoners on remand had been held for over a year. Another nearly 2,500 people were locked up for over 6 months, after which time a judge must approve an extension. A top lawyer warned that some defendants were pleading guilty to crimes despite insisting they were innocent because they would be released from prison sooner. As the Crown Court's cases backlog also reached a new record high, having doubled in 4 years. It is the latest shocking indictment on the state of Britain's justice system as prisoners come under the spotlight following the escape of terror suspect Daniel Khalifa from Her Majesty's prison Wandsworth recently, amid wider concern over chronic overcrowding and understaffing. Jack Straw, Labour Home Secretary between 1997 and 2001, said it was preposterous and just extraordinary to leave people languishing so long in prison without a trial, charging the Conservative government with presiding over the most serious crisis in the criminal justice system that I can remember. Tory MP Robert Buckland, who served as Justice Secretary for 2 years until September of 2021, called for the cases to be examined and clearly explained, warning that people should not be on remand for years without a proper reason. A Ministry of Justice spokesperson claimed cases involving the longest waits mainly involved complex fraud or were trials with a large number of defendants that ordinarily take a long time to prosecute. Lambasting the years-long remand wait as totally and completely unacceptable, Blair-era Justice Secretary Lord Falconer said the government needs an emergency plan because we can't let these long delays continue. Lord Falconer called for the greater use of tagging for non-violent suspects and temporary Nightingale courts, while Jack Straw said ministers could do a great deal more to bring more courts into operation, including using retired and part-time judges. Rob Priest of the Howard League for Penal Reform said the overcrowding crisis is most acute in jails housing prisoners awaiting trial. He likened lengthy, Kafkaesque remand times to indefinite prison sentences, which were abolished in 2012 and criticised recently by the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture. Official figures show as of June, more than a fifth of those held on remand were accused of drug offences. According to most recent data, just 32% awaiting trial were remanded for allegedly violent crimes. Ian Aitchison, a former security chief at His Majesty's Prison at Wandsworth, said the under-pressure Category B London jail was just one of those struggling to cope with the added pressure of growing backlog of remand cases. Ian Aitchison said locking up non-violent suspects for 5 years is an unacceptable use of state power. He warned that those on remand are often at far greater risk of self-harm because of their uncertain status. Conservative Justice Committee Chairman Sir Bob Neill warned that the churn of record numbers of remand inmates was putting further strain on prison officers. Sir Bob Neill said it can only increase the risk of violence when innocent people are locked up in prison without family visits or rehabilitation schemes, often in some of the worst conditions. British newspaper The Guardian has also covered the same story and tells us more. The worrying situation has led to a mental health crisis, with levels of suicide and self-harm among remand prisoners in the United Kingdom skyrocketing as people become hopeless. Griff Ferris, Fair Trials senior legal and policy officer, said remand inmates are often among those locked up in the cells for 23 hours a day in harrowing conditions, amounting to solitary confinement, forced to choose between calls to family and loved ones, exercise or showering, and denied access to education and other rehabilitative programs. Griff Ferris criticised the British government for actively contributing to the remand crisis by shredding infrastructure and legal aid, and said he believed Labour had avoided taking any meaningful action to challenge ministers over fears of being seen as soft on crime. Claiming that the government simply cannot get to grips with its basic duties, Shadow Justice Secretary Shabana Mahmood insisted Labour would take immediate action to increase the number of Crown prosecutors at least half by half and build prison places pledged but not delivered by the Conservatives. Dieter Saliuka, whose brother, Liridan, 29 years old, died by suicide at His Majesty's Prison at Belmarsh on 2nd of January 2020, weeks after his trial was pushed back 6 months, having already spent 5 months waiting, warned, "Our prisons are unsafe and unable to provide basic levels of care." Dita Sariuka warned that those who see their remand custody limits extended, like her brother, wait and wait and lose hope. Speaking of those eventually acquitted, she added, "You're in prison for years and then you get found not guilty. What happens after that? You might lose your family, your job, your house, your employment, your relationships. You don't get any of that back and you don't get anything at all." Conversely, Law Society Deputy Vice President Richard Atkinson said, "There are certainly cases where defendants will have spent longer on remand than their potential sentence, with some opting to plead guilty to get out sooner, despite lawyers advising otherwise."
You have just listened to The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,645 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Take pieces of bread from me, and your soul will never be broken. And if I am your haven, you will never be homeless. One whose cloak is me will never be naked. And one whose resort is me will never be destitute. God is above all powers. IRIB English Radio.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful and noble hadith which has been transmitted from Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. This hadith is about the pillars of repentance. As you know, repentance or tawbah is one of those central and very important virtues within Islam. And as you know, it's been alluded to in many places of the Holy Quran. By way of example, in one verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following: "But whoever repents after his wrongdoing and reforms, then Allah shall accept his repentance. Indeed, Allah is all forgiving, all merciful." And in another verse of the Holy Quran, we read the following. In this verse, Allah speaks in the first person. In the previous verse, he was speaking in the third person. Here he speaks in the first person. He says, "Indeed, I am all forgiving towards him who repents, becomes faithful, and acts righteously, and then follows guidance." So repentance is very important. You know, all of us, have sinned, and it's necessary for us to always continuously and repeatedly make repentance, and Allah has guaranteed that He will forgive us if we do. In this beautiful hadith, the Imam, he alludes to the pillars upon which repentance is based upon. By way of, as a preliminary, let's recite another hadith. This hadith is from Imam Ali, in which he also alludes to this. Before we get to that hadith from Imam Baqir, this first hadith kind of paves the way for our understanding of that one. The Imam says, "Repentance stands on four pillars: remorse with the heart, asking for forgiveness with the tongue, work with the limbs, and resolve not to repeat the offense." Right, so these four pillars, first of all, the one of them is related to the heart, being really regretful of what you have done, and verbally asking for forgiveness from God, working with the limbs, and resolve not to repeat the offense that one had done. In this hadith from Imam Baqir, the Imam, he kind of elaborates more on the third pillar here. The Imam Baqir alayhi salam said the following in reply to a sheikh from the Nakha tribe, who said, "I have been a governor since the time of Al-Hajjaj until this very day. So is repentance possible for me?" The Imam remained silent. And when I repeated the question, when the person repeated the question, the Imam said, "No, until you have compensated everyone for his lost right, any kind of oppression that you might have done during this time, you should compensate those people for it. Until you have not done that, then you cannot, your repentance will not be accepted." This kind of, elaborates more on that third pillar mentioned by Imam Ali, in which he said that work with the limbs. Maybe that could be an allusion to this compensation that the Imam Baqir alayhi salam has mentioned in this hadith. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the pillars of repentance in the words of Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam. Until next time, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala